I want to tell you a story today about two little boys named Mark and Yoshi. And it's a true story. Mark and Yoshi were 4 years old, and they went to the same kindergarten. It was kind of a special kindergarten because it was a Christian kindergarten. It was run by Christians for anybody. And that meant that besides all the great stuff kids usually learn in kindergarten, they also learned about Jesus and how God loves us. Now, Mark loved kindergarten. It was so much fun playing and doing crafts and learning neat stuff. Mark had lots of friends at kindergarten, and he loved it. But Yoshi, not so much. You see, Yoshi was a little different. He was developmentally disabled. Yoshi had trouble sometimes learning new things. And sometimes he didn't really understand things the way that many people do. Kids could tell that Yoshi was kind of different, and so the other kids wouldn't play with Yoshi. People used to have a lot of strange ideas about mental and developmental disabilities. And many of the parents told their children to stay away from Yoshi. And that's just what they did. During recess, Yoshi would try to play with the other kids, but they wouldn't play with him. Sometimes they would say mean things to him and run away. But one day, Mark was in the sandbox, and he was piling up a big pile of sand. And he was trying to build a tunnel through the middle of it. Yoshi came along, and he saw the mountain that Mark was working on, and he wanted to play too, and so he did. He started to pile up the sand too, and he started to dig a hole as well. And do you know what Mark did? He didn't tell him to go away. He didn't call him names. Mark didn't even get upset. When he saw that Yoshi wanted to play too, he showed him where to start digging so it would meet the hole that he had already started on the other side, and they could make a tunnel. And Mark and Yoshi played together for that whole recess that day. And the next day, they played together again, and again and again. Mark and Yoshi became really good friends, and they played together every day. And Yoshi started to like kindergarten because he had such a good friend to play with. Well, it wasn't long before Yoshi's parents started to ask about Mark, who they were hearing about. They realized that the only kindergarten that would accept Yoshi in the first place was a Christian kindergarten, and the only child who was a friend to Yoshi was a Christian boy. So Yoshi's mom and dad decided that they wanted to know more about Christianity because of how Christians, in this case, had accepted and welcomed their son when few other people did. Well, within a few years, Yoshi and his family decided they wanted to become followers of Jesus too. All because of how one little boy, 4 years old at the time, lived his faith. And by the way, that faithful little boy, Mark, that's his real name, is my younger brother. Maybe you'll meet him one of these days. He's a lot older than four now. And he still lives that way. In fact, his main work is working with children with special needs and adults who are disabled. One of the remarkable things about Jesus is that he rejected the cultural norms of his time when it came to who was considered important. He treated women with honor and respect that was unusual in his time. He spoke with and even touched those who were considered unclean and diseased. He spent time with so-called sinners, even tax collectors. And as we've heard in our story today, he welcomed children and made time for them. Jesus scolded the disciples who were blocking the children and said, "Let the children come to me, because God's kingdom belongs to them." As he hugged the children and blessed them, he held them up as examples of faith. Whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it. I wonder what Jesus would have said about Greta Thunberg, the young environmentalist who has been castigating world leaders and all of us adults for all of our talk and lack of action on climate change. I wonder how he would have treated those indigenous children who were taken away from their families and placed in residential and day schools for several generations. Many, many years. I think he might have done more than scold the religious groups that ran those schools. When Jesus welcomed and blessed those children and honored them as examples of faith, he was offering a surprising, quite incredible teaching about the household of God, his extraordinary concept of the kingdom of God. It's not a typo. The kingdom of God. That's a more modern twist on the old language of the kingdom or the reign of God that expresses how Jesus challenges even the long-held and often universal beliefs about family and kinship. You know, like blood being thicker than water. Family first. Jesus redefined family. It's not at all clear that Jesus intended to establish a new religion. He was a teacher within the Jewish tradition, after all. But it seems very clear that he intended his followers to form a different kind of community. As we hear in the book of Acts, his earliest followers gathered and shared all their belongings and provided for the poor and the marginalized. They ate together and prayed together and established new social bonds across economic and familial boundaries. Martin Luther King spoke a lot about what he called the beloved community. When he talked about the goals of the civil rights movement and the strategy of nonviolence, he made it clear that the goal is reconciliation and redemption. He said, "The end is the creation of the beloved community. It is this type of spirit and this type of love that can transform opposers into friends." The type of love I stress here is not eros, a sort of aesthetic or romantic love. It's not philia, a sort of reciprocal love between personal friends, but it is agape, which is understanding and goodwill for all. Unconditional love. It is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. It is the love of God working in the lives of people. This is the love that may well be the salvation of our civilization. He spoke those words in 1957, and I think they're very applicable today. Dr. King believed that the beloved community wasn't simply a utopian state that we vaguely hope for. He believed that we can and must make it a reality in the world, in our time. It's a vision that is founded on the teachings of Jesus, in which all people can share in the wealth of the earth. In the beloved community, poverty, hunger, and homelessness will not be tolerated because of standards of human decency will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood, brotherhood, siblinghood. In the beloved community, international disputes will be resolved by peaceful conflict resolution and reconciliation of adversaries instead of military power. Love will and trust will triumph over fear and hatred. It is a bold vision, but it starts with how we treat each other every day, in our own homes, in our own workplaces, in our own communities, where we shop, where we work, where we live. How we treat our children, how we treat our elders, how we treat those who live with different abilities, those who are neurodivergent, those who are different than ourselves in some way, including neighbors who bring different languages or customs or cultural norms. I imagine many of us, perhaps, maybe you can tell me, have you heard of that movement within some Christian circles called WWJD? Have you heard of that? What would Jesus do? People were encouraged to ask themselves, what would Jesus do? You may have even seen wristbands with those letters on them or other items to remind folks to consider what Jesus would do in any situation. Well, I want to suggest a similar practice for us. I don't have wristbands to give out. But a similar practice based on the words of Jesus from our scripture lesson today. Let them come to me. Do not hinder them. Because God's kingdom belongs to people like these. What would it be like for us to imagine Jesus saying this to us whenever we felt like dismissing someone or rejecting them? Let them come to me. The history of Christian involvement in residential schools is likely the most extreme example of how our faith community has hindered and damaged people's faith. But there are still many ways that we get in the way and block people from seeing and encountering the inclusive love of God. Our prejudices and our actions can harm people and prevent them from receiving the welcome and blessing of Christ and from being embraced by the inclusive, unconditional love of God. So, friends, we are called to begin right here in our own faith community, in our own neighborhood, and radiate it outward. Let us build the kingdom of God here in Richmond and beyond. Amen.